everybody. Welcome to Come Follow Me Daily Dose. I'm Lindsay Hansen, and today is April 14th. Today is the first day of this week's Come Follow Me blog, and this week we're going to be studying Enos all the way through Words of Mormon. Now, it's about 9 pages, but it covers about 300 years of history, and so there's a lot to take in. There's a lot to learn from here in these verses, but to be truthful with you, we're probably going to spend 3 or maybe even 4 days in the book of Enos, because there is a lot in this story that is phenomenal. One of the things that I like so much about Enos is that it shows us a process that all of us are going to have at some point in our lives. And sometimes we have this process multiple times in our lives. And so I love taking a look at this story and learning about how we can grow in our conversion, just like Enos did in this story. What we're going to see for Enos is he's going to go from having a knowledge of the gospel, where he says, my father has talked about these things a lot, to a testimony of the gospel, where he believes the words of his father. But then we're going to see him enter into conversion, where it's not just something that he knows, it's not just something that he believes, it's something that he lives and something that he does. And that process of conversion is a process that we all have to experience in our lives. And so I love taking a look at the book of Enos and seeing how we can experience the same type of conversion in our lives as well. So let's jump right into verse 1. It says, behold, it came to pass that I, Enos, knowing my father, that he was a just man, for he taught me in his language, and also in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and blessed be the name of my God for it. Now, remember when we were studying 1 Nephi chapter 1, verse 1, we talked about Middle Eastern writing, ancient Jewish writing, and how it was very, very common in ancient Jewish writing to pay a tribute to your father as you wrote. Now, it's fascinating to me because here, this is the second generation that we have here in the Americas, because Enos's father was Jacob, yet he still holds on to that tradition of Jewish writing. He gives praise to his father. In fact, this verse is very reminiscent to 1 Nephi chapter 1, verse 1, where he says that his father is a just man, and because of that, he taught me in the language and also the nurture and admonition of the Lord. What's interesting to me is that he talks specifically about nurture and admonition, because nurture is a word that means he understands the love of God, but admonition has to do with the expectations of God, what God asks of him. So this verse makes it sound like Jacob has done a really great job in teaching Enos about the love of God, but also that God has commandments and expectations for him. And Jacob did a good job in helping Enos understand those two things. And then in verse 2 it says, I will tell you of the wrestle which I had before God, before I received a remission of my sins. Now there are a couple things that I really like about this verse. First of all, it says that the wrestle was before God. It doesn't say that the wrestle is with God. And I think that that's a really important distinction here, because he wasn't wrestling with God. It's not like he was in some big cosmic arm wrestle before God and he said, okay, if I win, then you have to forgive me of my sins. That's not it. The wrestle that Enos was experiencing was with himself. It was the carnal Enos wrestling the spiritual Enos. And it just so happened that that wrestle was before God in prayer and in his life. God isn't interested in fighting with us. He's not interested in fighting and forcing us into his way. But we, all of us, have to wrestle with ourselves, our carnal selves, to overcome our natural man. And that's the kind of wrestle that Enos was experiencing here. Now keep in mind, and this is just my opinion, but I don't believe that Enos was a super bad kid. It talks about receiving a remission of the sins. It talks about this wrestle that he has. It talks about asking for forgiveness. But I don't think that he ever did anything horrifically wrong. I don't think that he was an Alma the Younger type. But I do think that he hit this point in his life when he saw himself in his carnal and natural man state. It reminds me kind of the people of King Benjamin, right? After he preaches to them, it says that they saw themselves for who they were and they saw their need to repent. Well, they were really great people. But even really great people sin and fall short of the glory of God. That's all part of God's plan, that we would make mistakes and need to rely on our Savior. And so I don't think that Enos was a horrible kid, but I do think he got to a point in his life where he realized how much he needed God. And he was engaged in this wrestle with himself before God, a wrestle that we all experience when we know that there's something that we need to do or something that we need to change, but we maybe don't necessarily want to. That's the kind of wrestle that we all experience in life, and I think that that's the kind of wrestle that he was experiencing in this moment. I also like that that word wrestle gives us an image of a work that needs to happen in order to repent. It says that this wrestle was something that he experienced before he received a remission of his sins. Repentance, change, coming unto God should take some effort on our parts. And I like that we see that here with Enos. So in these verses, Enos fully admits that he was raised by a good father who taught him the things that he needed to know, that raised him the way he was supposed to be raised. And I think it's important to remember and to think about the fact that our parents can do everything right. They can teach us, they can guide us, they can lead us, they can make sure that we're going to church and saying our prayers. They can do everything, and yet the kid can still choose something different. Now, like I said, I don't think Enos was necessarily a bad kid, but even after everything that Jacob taught and did, he clearly had some struggles and some sins, some things that he needed to work out with God. But what's interesting is that in verse 3, we see something that's so important. We see a step that had to happen for Enos, and it has to happen for every single one of us. It says that he was out hunting, and then it says, "The words which I often heard my father speak concerning eternal life and the joy of the saints sunk deep into my heart." That is what we desire for all of our children, right? He's saying, yeah, my dad used to talk a lot and he used to teach a lot. He used to say all these things. I've heard all of these things. I know these things. But there had to come a moment for Enos when it wasn't just about what he knew. It wasn't just about the doctrines that he had heard. It wasn't even just about believing those things. But all of a sudden, those doctrines, those principles, those truths had to sink deep in his heart. That is what we should all be seeking and praying that our children experience. That is the difference between knowledge and conversion. Sister Bonnie L. Oscarson taught that true conversion occurs as you continue to act upon the doctrines you know are true and keep the commandments day after day, month after month. True conversion is more than merely having a knowledge of gospel principles and implies even more than just having a testimony of those principles. Being truly converted means we are acting upon what we believe and allowing it to create a mighty change in us or in our hearts. In the booklet, True to the Faith, we learn that conversion is a process, not an event. It takes time, effort, and work. So my friends, conversion really is a three-step process. There's knowledge where I have heard about this, I've learned about this, I've read about this, I know it. There's testimony where we actually begin to believe it and want it. And then there's conversion when we begin to live it. And my friends, that is the beauty of the book of Enos, is that we get the opportunity to witness that conversion process. We get to see how he goes from a knowledge, all of the things that his father has said, to a testimony wanting to believe it, and a conversion where it drives him and becomes a part of everything that he does. We get to see the process where the words and the doctrines of the gospel went from something that he felt to something that he was. And it is incredible. My friends, as all of us have to go through this process in our lives, I look forward this week to studying the words of Enos and watching this process of conversion, watching the things that he did to take his knowledge simply from something that he's heard to who he becomes. It is a process that he went through here in this chapter, and a process that every single one of us have to go through in our lives. And Enos gives us a perfect example of how we can do that. Because it's my testimony that it's true conversion. It's living the gospel of Jesus Christ that brings the joy and the peace of the gospel deep into our hearts. Thank you so much for listening today. If you're enjoying this podcast, make sure to follow us on social media, subscribe, like, comment, or share. This has been Come Follow Me, Daily Dose, and I'm Lindsay Hansen.